From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Every year, millions of workers leave home in search of jobs in other countries. In Mexico and Ecuador, for example, money earned abroad is the second largest source of foreign capital after oil. In Sri Lanka, it's number one, due mostly to hundreds of thousands of poor rural women who work as housemaids in the Middle East. The mass migration provides badly needed cash for families as well as for the national treasury, but it has also fueled a wrenching debate about family and the role of women in Sri Lanka, a small island nation off the southern tip of India. As part of Worlds of Difference, a new series on global cultural change, Sandy Tolan reports.
A sitting room in a wealthy neighborhood of Amman, the Jordanian capital. Three Sri Lankan maids, Kumari, Mala, and Manike, sit on plump couches, sipping sweet Arabic tea. Madam Shama is serving for a change and translating from the housemaid's acquired Arabic. The women are here to explain why they've traveled thousands of miles to work for $100 a month. In a word, family.
I loved them so much, and I was so desperate for them to make anything possible for them to live better and eat better and learn better. I thought it's only 2 years.
By almost any measure, the housemaid's salaries are tiny, some as little as 30 cents an hour, plus room and board for 14-hour days of cooking and cleaning. Yet these women from poor rural areas have been able to save for new homes in their villages. And as services that used to be taken for granted now keep their families alive, the women see themselves differently.
The society look at them now is much different because they know now that the woman can bring money to the family and make the family happier than when the man is working.
But there is so much that a desert kingdom cannot provide. Coconut oil burning from the shrine of the Buddha, the smell of curry and fresh fish, the sound of the ocean, and the touch of their children, who they will not see for years at a time.
My daughter thinks that my mother is her mother. When they tell her, no, your mother is in Jordan, and she says, no, this is my mother. She doesn't even know me. Well, occasionally I receive cassettes from my family. Every time I go to my room, I listen to their voices. I feel how much I miss them and I cry. And this is nearly every night.
In a poor neighborhood of Colombo, the Sri Lankan capital, a 12-year-old girl has questions she'd like to ask her mother.
All I ever write in my letters is for her to come back soon. That's all I ever ask her. But she, of course, tells me to listen to my dad and to the elders and for me to go to school every day.
Maya Da Costa and her family will have to learn to adapt. Sodas and sweets are brought on a silver tray by the father, Queso Mandasa Da Costa.
My daughter cries every day. She wants her mother back. And she keeps pestering me to bring her back. And of course, I always say, it is this loan, she has to be there.
This loan, $1,500 at 50% annual interest, to pay for their son's proper wedding. But even with a mother cleaning house in Oman, the family can only manage to pay the interest.
Actually, people go through lots of depression in a situation like this. I am aware of that, but people should know how to conduct themselves. In my case, I have children, and I have to think about their future. That gives me little choice to misbehave.
With so many mothers providing security from thousands of miles away, Sri Lankan society is undergoing a powerful shift, especially in the villages.
According to the Sri Lankan tradition, only housewife knows how to balance the money.
Siri De Soysa, guide and unofficial spokesman for a small village 2 hours south of the capital, strolls past a row of cinnamon trees, moving from house to house in a landscape missing so many of its women.
No husband, even I can't. balance the money. Once we get the money, we just spend for enjoyment, you know.
We come to a house with chipped paint walls and bare bulbs hanging from the ceiling. Three boys stare quietly at their visitor, bouncing a tennis ball on the cement floor as their father, T. Ajit, assesses the changes.
I'm trying to do what mother was doing, the same capacity. But when I give an order to my children, you do this, you do that, you go to school, and then I go off to work and come back and see sometimes they have not followed my orders. And then I feel my wife is suffering there in Middle East. I am suffering to keep these children up, but no one is here to look after them. And sometimes I get frustrated and beat my children.
The tales of Sri Lankan migration always include family trauma. Children neglected and abused, husbands carousing with other women, using the wife's money for liquor. Some studies suggest migration has little to do with these realities, that the reason many women leave in the first place is to escape domestic abuse. But the stories of abuse and neglect are on everyone's lips.
Now, this is what is happening. First time they go to Middle East, they send money to the husband. Second time, they go send money to the husband. Third time, nobody will send money to the husband.
Siri says here, Middle Eastern money burns fast, like Arabian oil. But walk with him through the village, beneath the shade of banana and king coconut palms, and you'll see that's not entirely true.
Now see the house what we went in just now.
Here, a simple home with cement floors and lights where once there was clay and kerosene. There, an airy house with high ceilings, fresh paint, and hand-carved windows from the wood of the jackfruit.
In this house, this lady was in Middle East, and her sister still in Middle East, and brother also in Middle East.
Kanti and Brianka, sisters, have returned from the Middle East to live with their mother in the house their wages built.
We are proud to have a house like this. Now we are expecting to put tiles on the floor, buy new equipment like a fan, radio, stereo, TV, and new light fittings. They are very proud to have a house like this.
These former housemaids say 95% of Sri Lankan women are treated poorly in the Middle East, but they say they had a good experience. Myrtle Pereira of the Marga Institute, a think tank in Colombo.
We found that the majority of the women who migrated and came back, over 60% of the households had benefited remarkably, very much on education of their children, housing, consumer durables, living standards, some of them also economically.
And yet, travel across this teardrop of an island and try to find anyone on the streets or the village paths who will say this migration is a good thing. From the hot coastline below Colombo to the hill country in the ancient Buddhist town of Kandy, you will hear otherwise. The Temple of the Tooth, where a canine tooth of the Buddha is enshrined inside seven caskets of silver and gold, each one smaller than the next.
What I hear and what I see, the Middle East countries, I'm not blaming about everybody, but most of time, our people get hard time in there.
Outside the temple, a local rickshaw driver, he will speak only if we don't use his name, grows agitated. There's not much talk here about the harsh austerity measures from the International Monetary Fund that limit local salaries and make migration necessary. But the rumors, some coming out of the tabloid press, fly with the wind. A woman who died on the job and whose body came back without eyes. 500 maids who fled abuse to take sanctuary in the Sri Lankan embassy in Kuwait. 400 women supposedly made pregnant by Lebanese men.
In here, they lost many things. They lost their children, their husbands, and many things. I want to tell you strongly, like 70% of Middle East people treat to our people very badly. Of course, we are very angry.
Women's and social service groups say, in fact, these stories have become like urban legends, preying on the anxieties of men who feel they can't protect their women. In fact, it appears these stories represent a fairly small fraction of cases. Some groups say abuse does happen sometimes. They're calling for better protection through bilateral agreements. Yet the stories have become a metaphor for the worries of an entire society, unsettled by an impoverished, feminized migration.
All the ills, social and economic ills, mostly the social ills, that assail the poor households, they put it down to migration of the woman.
Myrtle Pereira of the Marga Institute.
And that everything that happens in society, the violence of youth, the alcoholism of men, promiscuity, teenage pregnancies, everything was put down to women going to the Middle East or migrating for employment, leaving their families behind.
Back in the village south of Colombo, Siri de Soysa opens up the door to a simple shrine. Here, the six-headed, 12-handed Kataragama, god of the army of the divine, rides a blue peacock amidst the lotus flowers at his feet. Rice and coconut have been left here as offerings. Prayers are made here by travelers.
Sometimes they do a vow, a promise. When I come back, I'll come and give you this.
The monks here lament that the women don't always remember their promises. The experience abroad can change the women somehow, the monks say. Yet the temple house had a facelift a while back, thanks to money from three daughters working abroad as housemaids. Outside, under a canopy on the temple stage, it's time for graduation. Monks in crimson and saffron robes look on, smiling, as 10 village girls, all in white, dance awkwardly to their song of passage. These are middle schoolers, armed with certificates of their Buddhist teachings. Many of their mothers are away now, and soon they too will be considering the journey. For NPR News, this is Sandy Tolan reporting.